for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, we have the stars of Berman & Berman, Laura and Jennifer Berman. Drew, this is your contact, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you.
I don't mean it's a bad. It's usually a bad thing if Drew has something to do with something. But
unacceptable.
I think this is going to work out. But how did this work out, Drew?
I was asked to do their show a couple times last year, and now they're doing more filming of their show out in the field, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. And they asked about coming on this show, and I thought this would be great. I thought you would enjoy meeting them. Jennifer's a urologist.
Yes.
Laura's a PhD. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Laura's a PhD, and they run a clinic at UCLA, and now going to be at Northwestern.
Right.
For women. Wrote a book called For Women Only, and it's about sort of women's sexual experiences.
And, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sensing this uncomfortable aura.
Yeah. I'm just in a bad mood today because I did Howard Stern this morning, and I got up at 3:30. I went to bed at like 1:45, maybe 1:50.
But so you've been talking about sex for a while, anyway, at least.
Oh Jesus Christ! I called Howard Drew. It's 4:30 in the morning.
Was he pissed?
A little bit, but it's fine. But you know, the point is my life just turned into one big long radio show.
Listen, we're like old, like an old Jewish couple. Like whenever he's mad at somebody, he calls them Drew.
Whoever.
So it's not a compliment.
Yeah, whoever he's sort of irritated with. Drew, listen to me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. If I raise my voice, Drew usually comes out. I'm gonna have to name my kids Drew. Name them both Drew. That's a unisex name, right?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, tickled pink to have you gals on the
well,
show.
Well, thanks to be valued.
And so, how did this work out? You guys are sisters, right? But not twins.
No.
But you look about the same age.
That's a good.
Right.
I'm older.
It's either bad for me or good for her.
Oh, I see. No, I'm sorry.
No,
well, for
okay.
One of you, I'm sorry. For the other, mazel tov, as the old Jewish couple would say. And so, how did you fall into this? Or I know you don't fall into being a urologist, but I mean, how did you come together? Was it something that happened later on in your careers?
Or early in our childhood, you might ask.
Yeah.
But no, Laura's a sex therapist, and I'm a urologist, and we both were working in our respective fields dealing with women's issues and women's sexual health. And through a series of circumstance and other things, we started working together.
Did somebody put you together?
No, nobody put us together. It was just a bunch of serendipitous things. I was making some changes in my life, and Jennifer was starting a new fellowship and in research, but wanted to add some clinical work to it and to start seeing patients. And we had been speaking back and forth about how our respective fields were missing the perspective of the others. So when we had an opportunity to work together, we jumped at it, and that we really, well, it's been since 1998.
But everyone asks us, how do you do it as sisters? And I think probably because we are so far apart in age that we weren't on top of each other growing up, and there weren't a lot of issues. So working together was sort of a novel, new experience of even just being together.
Or being in the same city.
Or the only sibling?
Time.
The only children?
We're the only.
How
yeah.
far apart are you in age?
No, we're 4 years.
Oh.
But while I was in high school, she was in elementary school. When I was in college, she was in high school. So
right.
We really didn't overlap socially at all.
Yeah, 4 years is big growing up. Unless...
Although we slept with the same people.
Really?
Start that.
Mad Drew to that list. You guys are into Drew, right?
We love Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And so does our hairdresser, Kelly.
Really? Gay guy?
Her, who's here with her boyfriend, Lance.
Gay boyfriend. All right. Everyone loves Drew.
He's got tattoos. You better be careful.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
but every pussy has a tattoo now. You used to have to be scared of a guy with a tattoo.
Right, that's right.
Like, man, he was a merchant marine or a biker. Now everyone has a tat, right?
Right.
Everyone's got some sort of tribal
too,
BS somewhere.
Matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you still have to be scared of them.
So we're supposed to be talking about oral sex, by the way.
Oh, is that going to be tonight's topic?
Yeah, that's tonight's topic.
So be it. I like that, by the way. Drew cannot tolerate oral sex.
Well, this is
that true?
No,
he's too passionate.
And so giving?
Well, I'll tell you what.
No. I'm not as into receiving it as Adam is, for whom it is the penultimate experience.
Is it a deal breaker for you in a relationship if your partner won't perform oral sex on you?
Yeah. I mean, it's never really... Well, actually, it has kind of happened. Yeah, it is.
With a girl if she didn't?
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to tell because any relationship I've had before I was a quasi-celebrity, there was, you know, things aren't deal breakers when you have three roommates and you live in a crappy house and you swing a hammer for a living. There's no deal breakers. She can try to kill you.
But not
a deal breaker. But if you become a quasi-celebrity, then there's deal breakers all of a sudden.
Because you have more selection?
You got to have something to deal in order to be able to break the deal.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I'm married now, and everything's fine. But I do enjoy the oral, and it would be a deal breaker. And Drew and I stumbled onto something the other month about oral sex that's one of the newer things we've learned on this show, because we've done this show for a lot of years, and we don't learn too much, really, other than we're tired of it. But the main thing we learned a few weeks back is that guys who don't like oral sex, as it turns out, like sex so much that oral sex pales in comparison.
Gets in the way.
Yeah. It's something that's like, how long can they eat the salad before the main course?
And that's receiving as well as giving?
No. I'm sorry. We should make that distinction.
We're talking about men receiving.
Men receiving. Yeah. Giving... I think that just sort of varies for everyone depending on who they are. But also, I could imagine the same guy, and Drew,
is willing to
be honest, your man of exquisite passion.
Yeah.
How does that work for you?
No problem.
No problem
giving.
But you must want to get going. You're anxious to go.
Yeah.
But Drew, you're anxious anyway. I mean, you're sort of...
Maybe that's part of the syndrome, yeah.
You think that's it?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you've ever...
Well, Adam is a world-class receiver. He has a
degree in that?
He has a position that's world-famous.
You know what the ladies like? They like giving me oral. You want to see my position, ladies? I just...
He's going to show you the...
You're going to show...
A lot of these yahoos brag about how good they are and about how good they can perform on a woman, but not a lot of guys can tell you how good they can receive.
Huh.
You know what I mean? And I'm a guy who will hold still, who can be complimentary.
Really?
I sit in a nice position. I don't make any crazy stabbing motions. I don't do any darting
Very
or anything like that.
Get excited. I'll get right to it. Come on. Here we go.
All right.
Hold up.
I'm going to put the mic away.
As wife's willing. Here we go.
He's showing us. Oh, so it's a reclined
position.
And
there it is.
There it is.
That was it.
He was sleeping.
Yeah. That's
very unobtrusive.
I can do it in a full recline, too,
really?
But it's just we don't have a cot in here. But Drew's seen it. Drew's seen it. It's remarkable.
But moving.
But what we've learned is, okay, so this is interesting. So, if you've ever traveled with Drew or done anything with Drew, you realize the guy's progressive. He's in a hurry. He's always leaning forward when he's walking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so... If you're with him sexually, I would imagine he's thinking about the next, whatever the next thing is.
But you're insinuating he's a premature ejaculator.
No.
You can't personalize.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
Are you?
I know.
He's just future directed. He's thinking about.
I like the idea about the salad, the main course analogy. That's just about right.
Yeah, he needs that main course. He may pop a crouton out of the salad and then slide it aside, and we got to bring in the rack of lamb now.
Uh-huh.
That's the way Drew works.
And he's seen how I eat.
Drew eats like a maniac. He does everything sort of
in
full
excess.
Speed. Yeah, it's not even in excess. It's just sort of that and double time, full tilt. So I would imagine that getting oral sex for you. And plus, you're not good at people doing stuff for you.
Right.
You have to be able to sort of relax and let people, you have to be okay with people doing it for you, right?
That's like the codependency.
Right.
A lot of women that have problems
with
this.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because we were talking to Drew about that earlier, but what do you think about why women have problems receiving?
I think it's a combination between being self-conscious and so women, here's the problem with women in oral sex. All right, here's what I want to say. women care about what their partner's thinking about constantly. Like, is he enjoying himself? Is it unpleasant for him? Is there an odor? What's going on in his? Guys don't think that way.
Guys think
I'm getting oral sex. I hope this goes on for a thousand years until, you know, her jaw comes detached from her skull and she dies. I don't care. We don't care. This guy, all guys do is try to get chicks to do stuff they don't want to do. And we don't care that they don't want to do it. We want them to do it. But so if you're thinking...
And then the other thing is, oh, my God, this is happening. That's all it's going on. Oh, my God, she's doing fill in the blank.
Right, right. So it's hard to enjoy something if you're thinking the guy must be miserable.
Right,
I mean,
right.
If you just sort of equate everything to a massage, if someone gives you a massage and you're thinking, oh, their hands must hurt, they probably hate this.
What do you tell women to do? What would you recommend women do to get over that?
What do we tell them to do?
Tell them to get over it.
I just tell them to get over it. Drink some wine.
can show them the position.
What about you as a man? Do you find it offensive or disgusting or gross in any way?
Oral sex? Yeah, you know, there's things I'd rather do, really. I mean, to be honest. But here's what we tell women, I think, or here's what the message is, which is, in and of itself, performing oral sex on a woman is not a great thing if you just separate, all the feelings and just sort of isolate it into a pure physical act. It's not a, you know, it's not a great thing. But the guy will enjoy it if he thinks you're enjoying it. And if you're worried so much about whether he's enjoying it, then you're sort of defeating the purpose.
The reason he's enjoying it. Yeah. What makes it worthwhile?
Guys like it because we're bringing you pleasure.
Right.
And ironically, that won't happen if you're worried about us being miserable.
I said the thing about you do for 5 minutes what somebody doesn't want to do. And you reciprocate.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
And what we were talking earlier, too, about female ejaculation and your philosophies on that.
Oh, I said you would tire of that if you were giving oral sex.
Was that your opinion, or did he really say that?
No, we've had this discussion.
Yeah. Well, Drew always, we do have women who call and say they do that, and the guys, Drew always says, oh, guys, they love that. And they might like it for, you know, the novel side of it, but and the fact, and I think Drew probably brought this up, that there's some physical manifestation
of their
pleasure,
work,
right? But after about the 10th year of marriage, with the detached retina or whatever it is you had from the squirting syndrome.
Well, what about the women that receive the ejaculate from the exactly.
That's good for them. That's different.
They shouldn't tire of that.
Well, no, tell them about the transportation of they didn't quite get that far. Come on, last thing.
It's just these are doctors.
Go ahead. I
feel like a retard.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of guys try to send that message where we need the girl to swallow.
Yeah.
And they do
that
try to drive that message in pretty good, which is a sort of a bad message, I think, for everybody, because we don't need them to swallow. We need them to receive it and then do whatever they want with it. They can spit it in the sink, spit it in the
toilet. Are you sure you can spit it? Maybe that's just your... I think men would get offended if you gag, spit...
Well, if you gag and spit on them or on some priceless antique or
in
perhaps
a towel, wherever.
An urn or something like that, or a little ball of semen and grandma's ashes all mixed together. But
we could run with this.
But no, yeah, there's a handful of guys who say, you know, sort of prove you love me. You know what I mean?
That's not
swallow
most guys,
my
though.
Essence. Yeah. A handful of guys. The other half, the other 85-90% just want an...
Don't
interrupt us during this is the worst time to interrupt.
So you could quietly take it somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean,
just hold it in your mouth and then spit it out, and that wouldn't offend you.
Well, if you made a big sound, it would.
as long as you didn't interrupt.
Let me talk to Drew for a second.
Yeah.
These guys are both doctors.
Yes.
Berman, they're Jewish, right?
Yes.
So they don't know about this.
No. They've read about it.
Okay.
Take it slow.
There's a thing, the male phallus, when he reaches the point of orgasm, the seed comes out.
Okay.
So there's something called oral sex, and where a woman puts her mouth.
Basics.
I know it sounds horrible. Phallus, and then the seed, as we call it, then it goes into the woman's mouth.
And then?
And then she needs to spit it in the toilet. That's basically how
so
it
you
works.
Allow that you allow spitting it out. I'm surprised about that.
Please.
Laura, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it depends on the man's ego, and like they were saying, that for some men it feels like a egregious insult if you don't embrace it. But for a lot of men, they're just thrilled. And I think that's an important point, not to interrupt. That when it is an issue is if you start gagging right when they're about to ejaculate and the orgasm is ruined.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
What was that sound effect?
That was...
It's David Allen Greer vomiting. But yeah, and it's really... There's 10% of guys that really want you to ingest it, and then the other 90% just mistakenly get caught up in them when in the swallow movement.
Well, I can tell you, if somebody's not swallowing, it's because it either tastes bad, smells bad, or the consistency is bad. There's a reason why they're not
swallowing.
Or the
idea of it is bad.
It's all bad.
It's all bad.
It's all bad.
But that doesn't bother you.
Guys would not want to take that.
No.
That's good to know, women.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, it's not all feast or famine. You can go in between, take it into the toilet, or
you wanted
potted plant.
Yeah. You want to have a special.
It says some potted plant's a good thing to have in the bedroom.
That purpose.
You can throw up in it. You can urinate in it. You can spit semen in it.
Better if it's plastic. Plant.
No.
You need soil.
That'll accumulate. They all know. That's disgusting.
Julie, turn
your radio down.
Yeah. What's up?
There she is.
Okay, is that okay?
There you are.
Okay.
All right.
My fiance.
All right, her line sucks already. If their lines suck, I don't want to talk to them. Yes?
I'm not sure there's a line problem. Julie?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
We've been together for about 2.5 years. We're getting married in a year, and he has broached the subject of anal sex, and I've never done that before, and I told him I thought it would be fair if I put something of comparable size in him so he would know what it felt like.
Number two pencil.
Chapstick.
That he would appreciate what I was doing for him. Do you think that's fair? Because he doesn't think it's fair.
No. It's a ridiculous plan.
It's a little aggressive.
It,
what you're saying is you resent him making you do something you don't want to do, so goddamn it, you're going to show him. So don't do
or
it.
Or he's
going
to violate you, you're going to violate him. But one thing to bear in mind is that some men, or he might want to think about it, some men enjoy prostate massage, which is...
Way too much is made of
which
that.
Which is why you've tried, Dr. Drew?
Yes. We've talked to lots of guys. Way too much made of that.
Well, he's against a little bit of something in that area, but he just is totally against the idea that I had.
What would be a little something?
Maybe a finger, but not...
Yeah. Right.
Not an object.
Stimulation around the area, right, but not anything the same size as his penis.
I mean, the bottom line is you need to do what you feel comfortable with. If you don't feel comfortable doing that and have no desire to do it, you should not be feeling pressured to do it. I mean, that's what I would say.
It's not that I'm so against it, because I've never done it, so I'm not really sure, but I'm really afraid because I think it would be really painful.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought maybe...
If she were approaching him with this, he would completely shut her down and go, no, forget it, no way.
Yeah.
He's already doing that, even as a precondition of something he wants to do.
Why do women
keep going down the path to do something they don't want to do?
Women have babies, right?
Not at their ass.
Yeah, it's a totally different.
I'm sorry, Adam.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Are you?
I'm not essing you. I'm.
Well,
this is
where's
real.
It come out then? All right. But the point is they have
my anatomy.
I don't want to see that. I don't like to see that.
I know. You think women are filled with marshmallows?
Well, actually, it's a misconception because people tell you it's just like having a large bowel movement, and it's really,
really
not.
Not.
Yeah.
Really.
And
why isn't it?
And there's a lot of anxiety.
Because imagine.
It's much easier to get something out than to get something in if you're not enthusiastic about the idea.
That's true. Julie?
Yes.
Don't do it.
If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Don't take your anger out on him for
right.
Don't do it.
Right.
It's not like I want to do that to
you. No, who cares?
Right. Here we go.
Listen, I'm going to talk to you for 15 minutes about your ass before we move on. But here's the other thing, too. Here's the message that women need to send to guys, which is, I don't want to do this for whatever reasons. And if you make me do it. And you could make me do it. I mean, you could get me drunk. You could bug me enough. You could use an ether rag. You could get me to do it. I will then resent you for a much longer period of time than the time that you enjoyed.
Right.
You know, the your enjoyment from this act is going to be a distant memory, but my seething hatred for you is going to go on forever.
But it gets even more complicated than that, because in this case, he's not forcing her to do it, but she wants to please him, and her motivation is to make him happy. And then she resents the fact that she's having to do something or feeling the pressure to do something to make him happy that she doesn't really want to do. So she sets up the double bind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, okay. It's a good.
And that's going to be plaguing her as well, the guilt for not doing it.
Right. Well, it's a good point, which is, I think, at the core of a lot of women is they want to please their man, and they want to be sexual, and they want to be desired. And the guys keep bugging them to do something they don't want to do, and it sort of undermines their sort of confidence about
she's
themselves.
She's trying to wrap her head around it and find a way.
And they're
way
about
to
get
okay.
married, which puts the pressure on even more.
Oh, that's interesting. We didn't think about that. Guys really, that's when they put the heat on for this stuff.
Yeah. Can the bride wear a brown dress? That's
and
good.
Will the marriage last?
Samantha, well, maybe there's something for the honeymoon. What's up? Don't talk. Don't worry about Anderson. He waves every night at this time.
Samantha.
Hi. What's up?
Hi, you guys. I just wanted to, for, like, last week, I swallowed my boyfriend's cum, like, a total of six times.
Six times?
Yeah. Is that bad for me?
Is it? That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 days out of the week, or is that all in one day?
In one day, it was three times.
Wow.
And then...
That's commitment.
Yeah.
That's on her part.
Yeah.
They say that's commitment. There's nothing unhealthy that's in semen, and
provided he doesn't have anything to
any sexually transmitted diseases or anything else. But in semen itself, which is what comes out during ejaculation, it's not harmful to your health.
But are you in a monogamous relationship, and have you been tested for sexually transmitted diseases?
Yeah, I already got my pap smear done recently, and he went with me to get checked out and everything.
Okay,
so we're good.
Right.
But just be aware that pap smear in and of itself is not enough. They need to do cultures also. A pap smear just tests for cervical
cancer. No, but they did it to him also, like a checkup. We both went together to get
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of culture, how many kids do you have?
I don't have no kids.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm all thrown off. All right, Samantha.
Thanks.
Hey, good times over there. Okay. What are you using for birth control?
Oral sex.
Pill. No, pill and condom.
Put right. and condom.
Good girl.
Wow.
And yet they don't do the condom with oral sex. Interesting.
No.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Good times, baby doll.
Okay, bye.
Bottoms up. All right.
Look high up.
Wow. That is it's a lot of semen. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Drew, who are we going to speak to when we come back?
I thought we'd get Nick. What do you think?
Nick.
That's one of our usual abuse calls.
Yeah, it was, sister molested him, six or seven.
Sister. Interesting.
Yeah.
No?
No, yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. When he was six or seven?
Yeah.
It's haunting him?
Mm.
All right. Laura and Jennifer Berman are both here from Berman and Berman. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jewel will be in here tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We haven't seen her in, it's been at least, I'd say,
years?
2-3 years.
Oh, yeah.
So she's a good guest. It'd be good to see her in here tomorrow night. Dr. Laura Berman and Dr. Jennifer Berman are both here tonight from Berman and Berman, which is on the Discovery Health Channel, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, shows every weeknight. And Dr. Jennifer Berman is a urologist who specializes in female urology and sexual dysfunction. What is exactly, how does the urologist thing work?
Well, a urologist is a doctor of the kidney, bladder, prostate, anything related to the urinary tract. So I was trained in both men and women, but I specialize in women's problems right now.
What's different about women's urology than men's urology?
Well, women get the same urologic problems that men can get, save for the prostate, obviously. So kidney stones, urinary tract infections, incontinence, prolapse, cancer,
good
sexual
times.
Dysfunction.
Good times.
Infertility.
And, Drew, did we have, you said you had some questions for urological questions.
Mostly been male-oriented. I can't think of any right now. We had one about...
Phimosis?
We had one about septate urethra. Can you? Remember that one?
No. I mean, yeah, I do.
Duplicated urethra.
Is that a septum, or is it a phimosis when somebody starts complaining about it?
Well, phimosis would be a foreskin that does not retract. And it's stuck.
I thought that was stenosis.
That's phimosis.
But we thought that was foreskin, like stenosis of the foreskin, basically.
Well, it can get stenotic. It can close down so much that you just have a little tiny pinhole to pee out of, and you can't pull the foreskin back.
So we have this discussion, but should men be circumcised?
Well, that's a very controversial issue, but if you ask me, I think yes, because A, for hygiene purposes, and B, because of the bacteria that can live underneath the foreskin if hygiene is an issue, that can lead to cervical cancer.
Not cervical. Penile cancer.
And cervical cancer.
Oh, you mean
HPV.
Cervical cancer in women, yes. Sorry,
cervical cancer in women and carcinoma of the penis in men, absolutely.
Drew's got his set.
Drew pulled out his New England Journal of Medicine article dated from 2002, male circumcision, penile human papillomavirus infection, and cervical cancer in female patients.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, Drew always talks about penile cancer, but I have to explain to him that even though it's twice as high for guys who were uncircumcised, since it doesn't exist, essentially, it doesn't really matter.
Do you really think it doesn't exist? Once you've seen a penectomy or a partial penectomy, you'll know it exists.
It's horrible. Oh. It's horrible.
So Adam's been accused of having had one.
But how dare you? It exists, but how common is it?
It's probably one of the rarer male malignancies.
But
no cases
in circumcised males.
No cases in circumcised males at all. I don't know about that.
Okay. All right. As opposed to almost no cases.
Right.
That's what
almost
I'm saying.
No
that's
cases.
The point I'm trying to make. Right. Doctors do this sometimes. I don't want you guys falling the same trap as Drew, where to say twice as many or 200% or 500% more, you have to put it in context, though.
Right.
If it almost doesn't exist in the other group, then you're really not making a huge statement.
Well, how many men are not circumcised? I mean, a lot depends on ethnicity, religion, culture. You know, there's a lot of uncircumcised men out there.
Yeah, the troublemakers. That's what we call them. Nick?
Hi.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, you guys already pretty much described it all, and I was just wondering about charges. Like, what could I do?
You were sexually abused by your sister.
Yeah.
How did that happen? What describe what happened?
It was just, I was young and I didn't know what was going on, so.
Yeah. And what did she do exactly?
Forced me to do stuff I didn't want to.
How old is she?
She was, 12 then.
And so now she is?
21.
Okay. And so she made you have sex with her?
Yeah.
Was she sexually abused by an adult before that, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
how do you know she was sexually abused by an adult?
Because he went to jail.
Because he went to jail?
Who was it?
My father.
Oh, all right.
So your dad abused her, she abused you. Okay.
Yeah.
And how were you able to have sex with her at age 6 or 7?
Well, I mean, it wasn't really that, but I mean, it was the basic idea.
Right. Like oral sex?
No, she would force my into her, so.
Yeah, I'm just saying, how are you able to do that?
I don't know.
You can have erections.
She just did.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm sort of halfway in between believing Nick and not believing Nick.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's a combination between either it's a bogus call, or he's just an angry, effed-up guy who comes from a family that would do this.
We sort of learn to read our own affects from these callers. We can tell when somebody's really got something and when they're sort of making it up.
Nick struck me as bogus at the beginning, but I'm starting coming around a little bit on it.
But just so you know, it is possible to sort of, I mean, she could have mimicked intercourse with him, you know, rubbed back and forth on him. Even if it wasn't successful intercourse, she could have acted it out.
And when he's 6 and she's older, he doesn't know, you know, he does what he is told to do.
Well, I mean, it's definitely trauma. I was just picking at him a little, trying to see if there are any holes in his story.
Yeah, and here's the deal, Nick. You come from a family that where there's some really serious issues. Dad's an abuser. Sister abused you. You've got trauma all over the place. Why don't you focus on getting some help with that before you decide about taking action? You have to consult with an attorney to decide whether or not you have the possibility of doing it.
Truthfully.
Well, it wouldn't accomplish anything for you, though.
Yeah, and I think if you, I don't know. If I was her attorney, I'd just say she was a horrible victim of abuse.
Yeah, or it didn't even happen. How could you prove it?
Right.
Well, actually, you know about the new that a man can be raped or feel like he was raped, and consent in particular when it has to do with a minor. I mean, she wasn't an adult at the time, but it all goes down to consent. Did he want to do it, and did he consent to do it? And he's saying that he's not.
No, listen,
it's impossible.
I experience male rape every time I sit at one of these goddamn red turn arrows in this crappy Culver City watching my life go by while the effing signal's green. That's rape, ladies and gentlemen. That is male rape.
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
Just sitting there taking a man and telling him to sit idle in his sports car watching all the cars pass by him when he could be turning left at a green at a red
all the cars
arrow.
Are passing by going the same direction as him, none
that's,
passing coming
that's
on,
rape.
Coming.
That's the very essence of rape. Nick,
you need to get some help with this. Yeah. So you need
Nick,
to sit there.
Yes. How about
don't worry about taking action.
Who are you living with now, Nick?
My mom and my stepdad.
Right. Okay. How are they?
They're cool. But
they are?
Yeah.
Okay, did you really want to prosecute your sister?
Well, I've got a couple of friends, mainly my friend Andy, who says I should.
Oh, bogus.
Yeah,
bogus.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it is.
People don't use names when they have really serious issues.
All right, Nick. Good times.
No, but,
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
Got bogus, right?
You guys are so jaded. I can't believe it.
No, we're never wrong.
He was bogus at the beginning.
We get taken in sometime by calls, but we know they're bogus. They're bogus.
There's
no affect. There's no people that have been abused. They use a lot of projective identification as a way of managing feelings, and you get it. They put it right into you right away. So anyway,
all right.
What would be the motivation for a bogus call, though?
Oh, just to tell your friends, you know. That, you know.
Teenage guys are jack-offs. You guys don't know that?
But in case it isn't bogus, get help.
You're right, that's right.
I totally get help anyway. Well, listen, even if it is bogus, probably get some help. A 14-year-old saying your sister raped you calling on a radio show. Yeah. Megan?
Yes?
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, well, on Friday, I had sex with this guy, and we were using a condom, but I looked down, and the condom wasn't on him anymore, and I'm like, what the hell? And so it had fallen off inside of me.
Mm-hmm. You've pulled it out since?
Yeah.
Okay, the toxic shock.
They have special dogs for that, don't they?
Yeah, the ones you've trained.
Let's go in.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of gross.
Beagle.
Okay, anyways.
Basset hounds.
So I went to Planned Parenthood the day after. And I took the morning after pill.
You took the morning after pill within 24 hours. Great.
Right. And I did all that, like that 12-hour deal and all that stuff.
Right.
Okay. I was supposed to get my period either Friday or Saturday, and I have not gotten it yet. And I was wondering if the morning after pill is for sure or...
It's at 24 hours, which is when you got it. In the first 24 hours, it's about 85% effective. So it's not for sure. But it also screws up your period. So the fact that you didn't have your period does not mean you're pregnant necessarily. You should get a pregnancy test in about another week, just to be sure.
Okay.
And if you had already ovulated at the time when you took the pill, in other words, if there was an egg in the tube, you would get pregnant, and that would also prevent you from having your period. So it's probably, the odds are on your side that it was just the morning after pill. We need to get you guys on our team with the morning after pill, too. Are you aware of what's going on with that?
In terms of the
politicization of this thing, and
it's going into the abortion debate.
The overwhelming, if you really read the science and how it functions, I don't know, but it suppresses ovulation. I mean, that is as much its effect as the birth control pill taken normally,
exactly,
which also can affect endometrial function.
Different doses,
different time frame. But there's this huge movement in Washington, particularly, that somehow it's causing an abortion. It's an abortifacient. It doesn't allow implantation, which is not true. Not any more than your birth control pill taken normally, or for that matter, Vioxx and Bextra and.
Well, it's the motivation of why you're taking it.
That's what bothers people.
Right.
That you had sex,
or that you're stopping a potential. No, you're stopping a potential life from starting.
No, you're not.
That's what they think.
But not any more than you are when you take the pill normally.
But when you take the pill, I think psychologically, the psychological reason why people have an issue with it, and I'm not saying that I agree with that.
Well, we're trying to understand it. So.
Is that when you take a birth control pill, you're in a constant state where you're putting yourself in a place where you can't get pregnant.
Right.
If you have unprotected sex or a condom breaks and you theoretically,
or you're raped
or whatever, but you theoretically could be pregnant or could get pregnant and you if you weren't to intercede at that moment, you would. It's somehow stopping what course nature would have taken anyway.
Because the egg might already be fertilized.
But it will implant then. The overwhelming probability it will implant. That's why it's only 85% effective. It will implant. It does not interfere with implantation more than birth control pill taken normally.
But we do understand the opposition to it. I mean, just because the right-to-lifers are sort of sanctimonious, blowhard pricks who aren't really interested in truth or science or anything like that. These are religious retards. I mean, these are retarded religious people who think that planets, 2,000 years old, Noah built an ark, and we have to listen to them and pretend that they can help us make policy in this country.
I'm surprised you don't get a lot of callers about that.
Give a call, you retards.
It's not all probably religious reasons.
No, it's mainly.
Our frustration is they won't listen to the science.
Right. But imagine
they're not interested in science, those idiots.
But imagine if you thought that murder was going on.
But what they cling to is that it impairs implantation, which it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. They don't listen to the science. Right. They don't want to hear it.
They think murder's going on because it helps them in their retarded arguments about controlling people. I mean, I've had an ass full of all these idiots, and I've had an ass full of the Washingtons, and I mean, what I'm saying is every president going to church, and I'm tired of all this policy being involved with the running of the country. I really am. Look at the science, figure out what's going to work best, and then go ahead with it, especially when you know they don't believe it. Bush might believe it because he's stupid, but Clinton's smart. He's just full of crap. He's just getting BJs and pretending he has to meet with his clergy. He just lies, I mean, he's too smart to be into that stuff. Bush is kind of a simpleton, and I think he actually does believe it. But you know what I mean? Like, you get the feeling like Bush is a religious guy.
He's a recovering guy.
A Bush.
Yeah, and so the whole religious thing takes on a different context for them.
Right, but and you get the feeling that Reagan sort of was into it, but Bush, you think he just sits around and thinks, what do people want to hear? What do they want to see? Where do they want to see me go? I should get a nice photo op of me leaving church. I get a BJ from some 19-year-old.
Clinton.
Rape some 19-year-old with a cigar. I should meet with my clergy now. I should really sit down and have a talk with them.
I swear to God, I do.
It's just a lie. Just lying. I don't understand this. We can't elect a guy unless he's into this? Really? That should be a strike against him. I just want some atheists who can think freely and look at the data. All right, let's take a break here. Berman & Berman here tonight, Discovery Health, doing a show. What is it, oral sex?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jewel is going to be in here tomorrow night. Tonight we have Laura Berman and Jennifer Berman, both doctors from Berman & Berman. It's on 10 o'clock on the Discovery Channel, Discovery Health Channel, that is. We were sort of trying to dedicate tonight to oral sex and the topic of, but... as usual, we move around a little bit, but we'll see if we can get back on track here. So, do you have an oral sex thing lined up here, Drew?
Yep.
All right. Amy?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I do actually have the topic you guys brought up.
Great.
And I really want to stress to Jennifer, I got a urinary tract infection about a month ago. And ever since then, about a week ago, we started finally having oral sex. And ever since then, right when I feel like I'm about to come, I have to go pee. So I have to go run and go pee. So I don't know if it had to do with the urinary tract infection or what.
Well, I mean, the question is, did you have a documented urinary? What did they actually take a culture and it grew bacteria, or did you just have symptoms of frequency, urgency, and you got prescribed antibiotics? Because you might be having the sensation that you have to urinate and not necessarily have to.
Oh, I urinate. I run to the bathroom and urinate.
Amy, did you get a culture? Did you have a urine culture?
Mm-hmm.
What's the sensation, or what causes the sensation that you have to urinate? and you don't really have to urinate, although...
Pressure on the urethra.
Oh, really? But you can always urinate, by the way.
Exactly.
I mean, if you feel like you have to urinate, you can always go do something.
And you can go on demand, too, even if you don't have to go.
Yeah, so. A lot of guys can't do that. Do you ever try to go before you start having oral sex?
Yeah, and sometimes they just kind of sit there forever, and it's not till everything kind of starts heating up that I have to go.
Amy, this is Adam. How about during oral sex?
How about what?
During oral sex, do you ever urinate? Do you want to urinate then?
She does.
Okay. Well, we got to move on then. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So what are we telling her?
We're telling her that it is not uncommon to have the sensation that you have to urinate if there's any, if there's pressure on the urethra or stimulation around the urethra, that might be just a sensation that she's experiencing and not necessarily be an infection. But what she should do is go back to her doctor to make sure that whatever, that if she did have an infection, that it is adequately treated.
And one does having had an infection increase the risk of this kind of symptom for a while after?
No, if she was adequately treated, the symptoms should resolve. Mm-hmm. But just any sort of stimulation, if a woman is predisposed to getting infection, stimulation around the vagina, around the urethra, and contamination from
mouth
and peri-anal area to the vagina and urethra. I mean, if there's...
Which means if you put your mouth on an anus and then on the vagina, you can spread infections.
But one more thing is that a
lot of women have the sensation that they have to urinate when they have a G-spot orgasm, and that's not necessarily if it's just from the clitoral stimulation of oral sex, but when women have a when their G-spot is being stimulated and they're about to reach orgasm, they often feel like they need to urinate, and it's just a sensation. They don't really have to.
All right. And, G-spot. All right. Well, then we'll go down that G-spot road at some point tonight. And what about guys don't have to, they don't have the feeling sensation of having to urinate when they have trauma to the urethra, do they?
Prostate massage can give the sensation that you have to urinate.
Oh, really?
We have, that's a question.
But not the urethra stuff, because our urethra is too far away from
Stimulating the male urethra would be traumatic. You'd have to stick something up there.
But
through the little hole where the pee comes out.
Isn't the urethra the whole body, the whole length of the flume, the urine flume?
Yes. And it is longer in men than it is in women. So the
Hold on a second, Drew. What's going on here? Is she a doctor?
I'm sure right now.
What's the question?
All right.
I have a question.
No, here's what I'm saying, just for clarity. I'm saying... Guys, you know, use their penis to open car doors and, you know, push open things and open pickle jars and stuff. We don't have to urinate. We don't get the sensation of having to urinate just because there's been some pressure
on the urethra. Right.
And I'm saying
not all women do either.
Because it's the length, right? I mean, women are sort of cut back further.
The reason why, I don't know whether, I cannot say that it's just because you have a longer urethra is why men don't experience that sensation.
Could be something else.
Because some men do experience the sensation of frequency and urgency and pressure and pain.
Particularly after they ejaculate, they get that kind of thing.
Yes.
Right. But now we have guys that claim they can pee during intercourse. Is that possible?
We
had that a couple times. I said impossible.
With an erection.
Right. Well, and they've done it like inside.
Oh, yeah.
No, they might be saying that they have retrograde ejaculation.
Well, that's what they insist they urinate.
Well, it depends. If it's a partial erection, it is maybe possible. But with a full erection,
no way.
The urethra is shut off.
Right.
I mean, at least the bladder to the urethra is shut off.
I can pee with a full erection. You can't pee with
Prove
a full
it.
Erection? Give me your hand. Spit in your hand. No, yeah, I can do that. That's why I pee in the sink.
Oh.
I have no choice. It's either that or ruin the wallpaper.
But you're not saying pee with an erection. You're saying pee during ejaculation.
During intercourse. Like they're stimulated, they're going, and they can pee.
Can pee or try to pee or accidentally pee?
I don't remember the call, but I remember this.
Hold on. Don't listen to Drew. That's a retarded thing. Some idiot brought it up once 6 years ago. It's not a problem. Casey?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I have my clit pierced.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend has a problem with it, and I want to remove it. And I change it usually like every 6 months, and I can't get it out. I even
have
a piercer for them to take it out, and the ball is stripped. And it's too small for me to even use wire cutters, and I have no idea how to get it out.
This is a woodworking question.
Yeah. You got a die grinder or Dremel or a rotary tool? Yeah. Maybe a torch, acetylene?
When was the last time you took it out?
About January.
And now you say
the
ball stripped.
The ball is stripped, but doesn't the ball sort of just act as the sort of female side of the male hoop that snaps into it?
It screws on.
Oh, it's a barbell. It's that kind of thing. Okay.
Right. It's
and it just keeps spinning.
Right.
Okay. Well, first off, I'm laughing hysterically because you idiots who pierce yourselves down there. You're such retards. I don't know what you're doing. So this is just pure punishment from God.
Oh, okay.
Believe me, you idiots deserve everything you get. Number one. Number two, we got to figure out a way to unscrew this thing. You don't
clip it.
Well, she said it's too short to clip.
The ball is completely stripped. I mean, there's no way to unscrew it.
Yeah, if you turn it and apply pressure, sort of pulling on it, you might be able to re-catch it or at least get it off. I'm not talking about your clitoris. I'm talking about the ball.
Right. And, I mean, literally tried everything. The piercer was in there for almost 45 minutes.
Ow.
Exactly. And it's not a comfortable sensation.
Well, one of the morals of this story is if you're going to pierce your clitoris and put something in there, make sure it's a high-quality piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
And it supposedly was. That's why I changed it to this one. I use a titanium brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened, actually, was I went and got a wax.
All right. Hold on a second.
It's not to give the bikini wax story.
That's what was done to Casey. All right, let me picture this. It's a ball.
We got to go to break.
Threaded.
You think about it during the break.
No, I will. I just want to picture it because I'm going to try to come up with a solution.
It's a ball that screws on to the end, and what she's saying has happened is that screw
right.
is stripped.
I got that. What's on the other side of the screw? It's just a stud or something like that?
Nothing that screws off.
Yeah. All right. Sure, you're of no help at all. Berman in studio tonight. We're taking questions on oral sex, but, as usual, we'll vary a little bit. We'll be right back. Hey, that seemed too long.
Yeah. Right. Anderson was yelling at somebody in there. I couldn't figure what was going on.
He's got a puss on
what's
tonight.
What's going on?
Look out for Anderson. Quit smoking. Wait a minute. That's the Knight Rider theme. Yeah. The Knight's taking a turn, Drew. I love that show. For the better.
Is he the guy that makes the vomit noise?
Anderson makes...
On demand.
Yeah. He's like DHL or whatever that company is. He doesn't make the car. He makes the car look better. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't make the vomit noise, but... what is that company called, that commercial?
But he had Clinton noises, too.
Get it.
He's
got everything.
He's holding back tonight.
You guys should get one of those for your TV show.
might make things more
Everyone should have an Anderson. That's a little tough during the downtime, but while the show's on, it's huge. It's great.
Yeah.
Anderson, play something embarrassing.
Let me say to the people of America and the nations of the world that I hate your ass. I swear to God, I do.
Play something. Some gay porn in the late 70s.
There you go.
All right, Lauren.
I'm a rapist.
Drew, please. We're just moving ahead with the show now. Berman and Berman is the name of the show. We have Lauren and Jennifer in here. They are sisters, obviously, both doctors. And tonight the theme is oral sex.
Yeah, we're actually going to tape a segment on the topic of oral sex on the show. We're going to do a whole show on oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to tell your listeners that if you're a couple in the Los Angeles area who disagrees about oral sex, like one person wants it and the other person doesn't,
mm-hmm.
then they should call us.
All right. I'll
give you the number. You
to be on the show.
To be on the show, yeah. It's 818-755-4800, extension 154.
All right. So they can call that number and they can book when. Now, when are we?
He wants it. You don't want to give it.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. When are you taping the show?
We're taping in August and September, so it could be either one of those.
All right. Let's talk to Lloyd, who's 24. Lloyd?
Yes. How's it going?
What's up?
Well, when I have oral sex, my girlfriend's going down on me, it just takes forever sometimes. Sometimes I can't even come.
Right.
And why is that? I mean, is that...
How is it during intercourse?
Intercourse, it can last a while or it can be quick sometimes.
I'm guessing it's quick most times.
Can you control it?
I'm sorry?
Can you control it? Is when it's quick, is it within your control? Do you want it to be quick?
Well, it's just too good and it just happens too quick. But otherwise, yeah, generally I can control it.
All right.
It lasts a little longer.
You're not into it that much.
The oral sex.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great. It's the best I've ever had with my girlfriend. I mean.
Yeah, she's dynamite. But you're not that into it. You like intercourse. That's your thing.
What are you thinking about are you thinking about anything when she's having oral sex other than how good it feels?
No, I'm enjoying it and just.
Are you worrying that you're taking too long or that she's getting tired or?
Well, sometimes she tells me if she's getting tired, but no, I'm not generally worried or anything.
Okay, but do you ever just get the oral sex and don't have intercourse?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's on her period.
All right. Well, good times. He's a man of exquisite passion wouldn't care, but maybe she does.
But certain ethnic cultural patterns
she doesn't like to have sex.
All right.
She's willing to have oral.
I bet Dr. Drew doesn't mind.
Hold on, baby.
Now, Drew goes third input when she's on her period. At least that's what he's always told me, just to stay away from that area and work the other area.
One thing that I might say that it might be happening with him is that whatever the stimulation, however she's doing it, might not be adequate stimulation for him. And or I mean, you look skeptical, but you have to have the... You know, at least in my mind, I'm not supposed to be talking about, or I don't want to talk about techniques, but with adequate frequency and adequate pressure and adequate movement,
she might not
be doing it.
But guys go right to that. They'll say, no, this isn't right. Stop.
Not all guys, and he might not be able to.
It also becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that if he took a little bit too long one time, then he's going to be nervous and it's going to, you know.
But he says he's not nervous, though.
If you're a guy who enjoys oral sex, you're going to enjoy 95% of what you
might enjoy it, but you might not be able to ejaculate.
I would say...
You will. If that's your bag, it'll work.
But I would say, who cares if you don't ejaculate? I mean, does it matter if he doesn't ejaculate, if he's enjoying it, and then he can have intercourse and ejaculate?
It's a good point. Who cares?
We've got to follow along those lines.
If your guy's having difficulty ejaculating in different situations, you got to beat off drunk. Because that's a training program. Really.
What do you mean?
You beat off drunk. You're a little out of it. You're having difficulty with your erection. Every guy who thinks, like, we have a lot of guys who say, I can have sex, but I can't do it in this position. I can't have an orgasm in this position. Or my girlfriend wants to do it up on the roof. I get nervous. I can't perform. I can't have an orgasm during oral sex. Get just stinking drunk and beat yourself up.
And what will that do?
It couldn't hurt.
It's because it's hard to reach orgasm when you're drunk, and you're doing it to yourself, you know, it's not as exciting as someone else.
Yeah, it's difficult.
So you can and you achieve it. Then what?
Then you can do it anywhere.
That's right.
Okay.
This is the smart system. Over here.
That's a theory anyway.
Thank you, Scott.
I didn't get the analogy how beating up drunk applied to.
Now you do.
It's just good training. It's not really an analogy.
It's just more of an exercise. It's like when Oscar De La Hoya trains at high altitudes.
That's right.
Say the same thing.
Yeah, it's not. You may not be fighting in Denver,
but one time will be enough.
No, no. It's a career. I'm saying quit your job, start drinking and beating off. That's what I'm saying.
And how long? Will it take
6 years?
Between 6 and 14 years. Scott?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, Adam.
Hey.
You are the man. And right. Dr. Drew, I got to say, I've listened for a long time, and you've gotten funnier. Even though Adam might not think so, I think you've gotten funnier.
Just do it!
All right, what's up, Scott? 23.
Okay, I just got married May 31st. And, I've been with this girl about 3 years, and whenever she goes down on me, I cannot ejaculate. I mean, it feels good. I don't know what it is. I'm relaxed. I'm comfortable with her. I don't know.
Has it been this way with all women or just this one?
With most women,
That's just not into this.
Ask the premature ejaculation question again.
What about if I masturbate drunk? Will Will I? No.
Will he ejaculate if you masturbate drunk?
Well, we don't connect this. Actually, the other guy volunteered the premature ejaculation thing.
No, you were there. You like, oh, I bet you.
No, that was a joke. What he was saying is that can you reach orgasm easily through intercourse?
Right, right.
And I'm not as
snide or evil as you think. Our theory at the beginning of the night were guys who can't have an orgasm through oral sex, they can't have it because they're just not that into it, but they're really into the intercourse.
Okay,
And so it's like I said, they're not that into the salad. They're into the main course.
Is that, Scott, is that you?
No, actually, I love getting a BJ. I mean,
I'd be curious
to know what was different, because he said there have been circumstances with other women. It happens a lot, but there have been times with women where he hasn't had that problem. What was going on? Because there's a couple of things. One may be that the stimulation's not adequate, but it also could be that with women he really cares about or he's really connected to, he somehow can't, for some men, they have an issue with bringing themselves
dirty.
To ejaculate.
Right.
It's somehow dirty or defaming to the woman. And
yeah.
Now she's his wife, and maybe he's...
That's a good point. And again, the smart sister bringing that one up. So much younger, too. Sorry, Robin. She would have the wisdom. The wisdom.
She's
of the
a
older
sex
sister.
Therapist, for God's
All
sake.
Right. No, I'm busting what would have been your balls if you were a guy. But,
look, I've got balls.
Yeah, but,
she
but,
does.
Yeah,
she's a urologist.
But
she
we never get, here's the problem we have when we end up getting into this, because guys get a little defensive. Like,
yeah.
We go, so. Maybe this is not, you know, you enjoy it, but you're not in love with it.
Like,
you
no,
love the
I
intercourse.
Love
so go, no, I like a blowjob. And it never gets us anywhere,
because
guys get real defensive about it. Think of it like somehow makes them gay if they don't really like a BJ, when really it's kind of the opposite if you think about it. Because I'd take one from anybody. Oh, yeah. Scott?
Well,
yes, you enjoy a blowjob, but tell your penis that. You know what I'm saying? All right, now, but... Without getting defensive, do you enjoy intercourse?
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with intercourse.
We're not saying you have a problem with anything. Which is your favorite?
I think my favorite's a blowjob.
Okay. And do you have a problem?
How can your favorite be the one mode that you don't have the orgasm in?
That's what's driving me crazy.
Do you have...
Can I just ask you, has there been times where you've had an orgasm and it's been okay and easy with a woman?
Once.
And what was special about that? Was there anything different?
It was a one-night stand.
Yeah.
So you didn't know you weren't in a relationship, so my theory may hold some water.
Smart sister pulls through.
But again, how... You've had one... here's what I'm saying. You orgasm every time through intercourse.
Yes.
Okay. Yet the other one, you rarely orgasm through. Yet that's your favorite of the two?
He's
lying.
It's his favorite if he could recreate the circumstance of the one-night
stand. If he could have an orgasm.
Well, how about, what would happen if
you... I just think he's being defensive.
What would happen if you had oral sex, you forgot about ejaculation, take the pressure off yourself, have oral sex, and when you're ready to ejaculate, have intercourse? And then over time, some of the anxiety will decrease.
And deal with the issues of, the whole whore Madonna complex.
Yeah, do you have an issue with your wife where you feel like it would be a little disrespectful or defaming of her to... Are you
worried about her?
What?
We have a pretty open sexual relationship. We don't have really a lot of taboos when it comes to that.
All right, but listen,
not really.
Scott's one of these guys that's going to sort of feel whatever way you're pushing and start pushing the other way.
Right.
He's sticking by his "I love the BJ" rap when he's had one goddamn orgasm in his life from it, and a billion the other way. This is his favorite way.
Doesn't make sense.
Maybe he doesn't have sex too often either.
Or it may just be that it's the golden ring that he's seeking, and he's idealized it.
Maybe that's it, but that doesn't become... If the south of France is a place you've never been, it can't be your favorite vacation spot.
But if you went there once,
it could be a place you'd really love to go. It could be your place you dream of going one day before you die. But if I said, where's your favorite place to vacation, you can't say a place that you've never been to.
But if you've been there once and you've never been able to get back.
All right, quiet. The dumb sister. All right, Scott. Really, this BJ you prefer more than intercourse?
I think so. I like the attention.
You like the tension. All right, but that should bring you to orgasm then.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think she's got some issues with him.
Okay, the attention. All right, Scott. What do you do for a living? Something with a forklift?
No, actually, I'm IT.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Information technology. Computer guy.
No, wait, Adam. Before you make a judgment, I just got out of the Marine Corps. I was a machine gunner for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Machine gunner, nonetheless.
Maybe that did it. Maybe your balls got just shook like a snow globe from that 50 caliber between your legs. What were you on? Like a armored transport or something?
No, I was infantry.
Wow. Good times. All right, buddy. Don't shoot me.
Semper Fi.
I'm watching you.
All right. Ruby.
Yeah, hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Angry. All right. Listen, you want to adjust your attitude or you want me to start yelling at you now?
I guess I can adjust my attitude.
All right, there you go.
What happened to you? Who did something bad to you?
No one.
You're angry about something.
You weren't abused in some way?
I was raped.
How old were you?
15.
15. And how about when
before
you were...
Before that.
Were you physically abused when you were a kid? Somebody hit you?
No.
Where's your dad?
Living with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's your mom?
Living with me.
Do you like both of them?
Not really.
Why not?
I don't know.
All right.
Mm.
All right. What happened with the rape?
I never told anyone.
Who did this?
A cousin.
Okay. So you were already a good victim by 15, right? It was 15 when this happened?
Yes.
So that means something happened before.
Usually.
You were victimized in some other way.
I never was, though.
Mm.
Sometimes just being neglected is a form of abuse.
Absolutely.
But you don't really know it, and you don't really count it as abuse.
Right.
What's your dad do? Does he drink?
Not to get drunk, but he drinks.
Where's my bourbon?
What? All right.
Anybody an addict or alcoholic in your family?
Really? I'm funny because I drink to get drunk, but I don't drink. just a little spin on what's going on here.
Ruby?
Yeah?
Any addicts or alcoholics in your family?
Not that I know of.
All right. Okay. What's your dad do?
He owns a store.
Aha! I knew it.
What's your question?
I think I may be addicted to sex.
Mm-hmm.
She might be addicted to sex.
Well, didn't ask a question about whether there are any addicts in your families? You can't be an addict unless you inherit that biology.
Drew, she's 17. But she's
been raped, where sexual addictive behaviors...
I was going to say.
What happened with the cousin? I think there's some more answers here, or questions to be answered. How old's your cousin?
He's 25.
So he's 25 now?
Yes.
So he was 23 at the time?
Yes.
And how did this happen?
I went out with him, and then when he was driving me home, he said he needed to stop somewhere. He asked me to go in with him, and it happened.
And you never told anybody?
No.
Okay, well,
there's something going on
here.
Yeah,
of course.
More than this.
Women, when they start to have sort of sexual compulsion after a rape, it usually is a post-traumatic stress disorder type of reaction. And that is a resurfacing of old trauma. To really get a full-blown PTSD, you have to have been sort of traumatized earlier. So if we're going to make the case that you're a sexual addict or sexual compulsive, you're going to have to figure out what has gone on here that set you up for this.
Were you sexual before? Were you a virgin before this rape, or were you sexual before then?
I was sexual once before.
Okay. And was that a positive experience?
Yes.
That was with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
And you guys still going out?
No.
Why'd you break up?
He didn't like me.
All right. And so after you were raped by your cousin, you came home, you didn't tell anybody?
No.
And hold on a second.
Well, I want to know why does she feel she brought up the term, I feel like I'm addicted to sex. What does she mean by that? Is she sleeping with 15 people? Is she wanting it all the time? What does that mean?
The smart sister makes a good point.
Nice.
Ruby?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I will sleep with random men, and I want it all the time. When I'm not having it, I'm masturbating.
How do you feel once you do have sex with them? Do you feel okay afterwards, or do you feel freaked out or upset or depressed or anxious?
I cry. Yeah.
Have you ever been addicted to a chemical?
No.
All right. So let's... okay, so the rape could have sort of triggered something, but something before this.
It has to have been.
Really?
Absolutely has to have been.
Did your dad ever hit you?
No.
You know, I don't. You're asking her to, and she's how old? 15. I mean, there's probably
17.
She had a rape. Right. There's probably family dynamics. There's probably issues, self-esteem issues. Who knows? We're never going to get all that from her. From her explaining. Yes,
We get these calls all the time, and they can tell us. Yes, I was sexually abused by the neighbor when I was 6, but I've handled that now. But then I was raped, and pow, this is.
So she just hasn't. Maybe she hasn't.
Well, either this is bogus. Which I think is a very good possibility.
Possible.
Very good possibility.
Yeah, because she's not coming up with anything.
Yeah, she's not. The puzzle's not fitting together.
Do you ever see, because I see it in my practice, where when a woman was introduced to sex in a really negative and traumatic way, her first sexual experience, she was really into the guy who was her boyfriend. He dumped her. He didn't like her anymore. So mm-hmm. she had this loss all around her sexuality. Then she gets raped. And so then she starts, it's like a traumatic introduction or induction into their sexual identity. And then she just wants to act out all over
the
place.
Yes, they will do that. But again, even then, you can identify stuff earlier that sort of set it all up.
Also, usually, and you're right, and that's what this could be, although if there wasn't something going on, she would have ran home and told her parents.
Right.
There's something going on in that relationship that's unhealthy. It may
no,
not
but to
be.
No, but to be that good of a victim, to have been completely victimized.
Right.
The big people don't do that unless they were earlier victims.
Ruby. If you've been raped like this, you need some counseling. So you have to tell somebody about it, all right?
Okay.
All right. So you can call like a rape hotline, or you have counseling centers and numbers and things like that. All right?
Okay.
And talk to somebody about it.
Maybe the RAIN hotline. It's 800.
Hold on.
You ready?
She doesn't have a pen. She's got like eyeliner and some kissing potion or something. She doesn't have a pen. Do you have a pen, Ruby?
I'm getting one.
Totally convinced this is bogus.
Yeah, I am too. Because she just went with it. She just went with it. Ruby, this is bogus.
Right?
No.
All right, 800-656-4673. The gauntlet is down because of that girl from last night.
Yeah, maybe it is. We had a good long bogus
call
last
night. You guys are bitter.
No,
I'm bitter.
656-4673.
Exactly, or 800.
How do you figure out if you're just accusing everyone of being bogus and we'll never know? How do you know that somebody ultimately is?
They give it up most of the time.
They do?
Yeah.
They say, yeah.
Yeah, last night we had
They just
kind
of run out of steam is what they do. Because
Then they tell us.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just a game. It's not. It's not like they win any money or anything. Yeah. You get
a lot of weirdos, huh?
Takes all kinds, you know, that's what I say.
To do this show, too.
Yeah.
And to receive.
Yeah, there's a lot of jack-offs who call this show. But look, as I've said many times, we don't care. We do our 2 hours and we go home. Right, Drew? I mean, that's
And we try to make points, even off bogus calls, like you say, give the phone number out. If this is happening to somebody, we've talked about what sets
even
it up.
Even if that was bogus, someone out there is relating.
Absolutely. I don't think we've ever had a bogus call that wouldn't speak to some listener of the show that had a somewhat relatable experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the deal. If we had to take 25 non-bogus calls a night before we could go home, and if it took till 5 in the morning, I would go berserk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would lock coordinates on these people. I would triangulate. I'd go in there and kill them.
Yeah.
But since we just punch out at midnight, I don't care. I mean, they're all bogus. We just go home at midnight. That's my thing. Yeah. All right. Berman and Berman in here tonight from Discovery Health Channel, 10 o'clock. And we'll take ourselves a little break, take an oral sex call. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jewel is in here tomorrow night. Berman and Berman in here tonight, and a stimulating show. I'll never remember this, though, because I'm way too sleepy. Jennifer and Laura are here tonight. They're both doctors, and they have a show on Discovery Health Channel every night at 10 o'clock. Tonight, we're talking about oral sex, and amongst other things, but we're trying to focus on that a little more.
I just brought up the fact that we didn't really get a discussion about condoms and oral sex, and a lot of our sort of listener age, you know, single people would be exposing themselves to potential sexually transmitted diseases if they didn't at least try to use condoms.
Loveline is brought to you by Trojan.
That's right. Trojan is a shill for the man.
That's right.
The mistake that people make is that they think that, you know, if they're avoiding pregnancy, they're sort of keeping themselves, you know, that's all they're worried about.
Right.
And you can get sexually transmitted diseases from oral sex.
Dental dams?
Yeah, dental dams. You can add, dental dams are a little trickier because, you know, condoms are easier to come by.
Well, condom, you just cut the tip off and then.
Right. If you cut it, or even Saran wrap in some cases.
A dental dam is basically a condom for a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. It goes over the woman's genitals. But
dental dam caught on about as good as new coke.
Same with
really,
with condom during oral sex. It's hard to get young people to do that.
Well, because you have to be familiar with the ones that don't smell.
Well,
they
put the Trojan ad on here, but Trojan is trying to make one that has a taste and a minty fresh.
Well,
they
have them that are flavored.
Yeah.
And
for prostitutes.
that's what he says.
Well, that's what they're making them for. I mean, wine companies make cheap wines for hobos. They pretend like they're not doing it. It's just got a screw cap on it. It's fortified and it costs $3. And, you know,
or they're trying
makes their prostitute. They make their hooker
an enjoyable
condom.
Or to make a potentially enjoyable act more enjoyable.
Right. From a prostitute.
Right. The tricky part with a condom is that you have to, you know, there's tricks to it. But first of all, that the tip of the condom, you know, where the semen collects can create a gag reflex.
Oh.
And that is tricky, so you have to make sure that
the reservoir can create a gag reflex.
Yeah, you know how there's
that
sticky thing, right? Tickles the
uvula.
Yeah, it tickles the uvula. So that's one thing. The other thing is, and I used to work with adolescents a lot about, and they taught me a lot of their tricks of the trade for oral sex. One was to put
lubricant inside the condom.
One was to put lubricant inside the condom, and that helps because that's a big complaint that the guys have, that condoms ruin the point of oral sex because they can't feel anything. So put lubricant inside. The other is girls put them on with their mouth, the condom, and that makes it a little bit more enjoyable and less interruptions.
Right. Then you got to tip them out, though, bigger, too, Drew.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, that's an extra 20, no problem.
And we always tell guys to drill with condoms. I mean, to practice, masturbate with condoms on if they don't like how it feels and they can't ejaculate when they have a condom on.
Yeah. Get used to it. Yeah. That's a weird, you never hear that message, actually. I don't know why.
But would masturbating with the condom on be the same as masturbating drunk?
Another treatment program. Another
exercise.
Yeah,
but it's good. Like I what Drew's saying is a lot of guys pull the condom out once a year, and all the other action their penis feels is sort of hand to penis, you know, and then they're surprised that their penis is sort of not used to this.
Right.
It's sort of like a horse is not used to wearing a saddle. you got to break them in. Right, Drew?
That's my motto.
That's Drew's motto.
Break in those condom users.
Break
in those peni.
Let's get to the phones here, Drew. What do you say, buddy?
All right.
Let's talk to Brian, who's 27. Brian?
Yep.
Yep.
First, I just want to say you're right, Adam, to just tell people that, you know, if they can't come during oral sex, then that just means they're not into it, because I'm the same way, and I just live with it.
Yeah,
you're not.
Doesn't mean you don't enjoy it.
No, not at all. I enjoy it lots, but I can only come every once in a while. And don't beat your head against the wall.
That's you.
But you like intercourse a lot.
Yeah.
There you go.
He admits it and knows it. I guess the other people, what?
Well, I think the other people feel is like they're sort of less of a man for not being able to have an orgasm through oral sex, so they overcompensate by explaining how much they love it, but then it becomes an argument against their argument, which is, well, if you love it so goddamn much, how come you can't bust a nut?
Or do they feel like they're
Jennifer prefers blow a load.
Blow a load.
that's the term she uses. That's a clinical thing.
He knows all my little things. But no, do they feel like they're missing out? The grass is always greener. Are they just one? Is it the question and the unknown that they're
I think guys do a lot of for guys, there's sort of peer pressure, and if you're a guy who's standing around hearing three guys talking about, oh my god, I got a BJ, it was so great, oh I loved it, and all that kind of, and you're gonna try to join in and explain why you love it too.
Especially and guys, you know, not very sophisticated guys will retain that sort of need for bravado and be very defensive if they're accused of not liking something they've heard about since they were 12.
Well, maybe there is a subpopulation of men, like there are 30% of women can't achieve orgasm through intercourse, maybe
30%.
30%
only
of
no,
130.
Excuse me, only 30% can.
Smart sister had to correct it.
But maybe there is a percentage of men who can't through oral stimulation.
Yeah,
and can
only,
for whatever reason, nothing wrong with them anatomically, nothing wrong with them.
Absolutely.
And they might, and that you're saying that they're not really into it. Maybe they are into it.
Well, there. I mean, it kind of depends how you define that, and it becomes this sort of cosmic argument that only the big man upstairs can answer. But I would just argue that if you cannot achieve an orgasm,
you can't be that into it.
You can only be so into it.
Well, what about women who can't achieve orgasm through intercourse? Are they not into it?
This is part of the cosmic argument, because for women, orgasm is not the key to sexual satisfaction, and for men it is.
That whole experience
of smart system.
That whole experience of receptivity does not exist for the male. The idea, in fact, of having sex without intercourse is sort of hard for a male to
without orgasm.
Without orgasm, beg your pardon.
Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. What was your question 10 minutes ago?
My main question concerns masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect for a urologist. I'm excited. I've been calling for a week, so I'm glad I got on at this time. I use the cutoff method, which is a method right before you come. You can reach way down between your legs and sort of pinch off the main vein, so there's no...
We have callers that redirect their ejaculate into the bladder by pushing on their perineum. Right. Is that harmful?
No, that's not harmful, and actually it goes along the same lines. You said it was overrated, but pressure on the prostate or prostatic massage, or increasing the pressure for when ejaculate comes out.
What he's doing is it produces a retrograde ejaculation.
No, he's not.
Yeah. He pushes on the perineum.
But he's not causing retrograde ejaculation. He's increasing the pressure, the resistance for...
We have calls, and this is what he's calling about. They do not ejaculate. It goes into the bladder.
Into the bladder, and what happens is that they don't have a refractory period. They can often keep going that way.
Oh, really?
And the orgasm is more intense.
No.
That's what men have told me.
Smart sister slipped a nut.
No, because that's what they tell me that they do it. What's the reason to do it in their mind?
Why do you do it, Brian?
Enhance.
I do it basically for not having a cleanup.
Hygiene.
That's why they do it.
Not having cleanup.
Hold it for a couple minutes. I don't use it for...
That's why they do it.
But the guy's calling from Alaska. It'll freeze in the air.
For a couple of minutes.
Then he pees it out.
Oh, and then he pees it out.
Yeah.
He doesn't know he's peeing.
Because in tantric sex, they teach men to do retrograde to keep their...
All right,
BS.
Well, hold on. Hold on 1 second. So, just to answer Brian's question.
The tantric is so they don't release their chi, and it's a lot of crap. It really is.
Tantric's just a bunch of old fags wearing sandals anyway. They're having trouble coping with their sexuality, their proclivity, so they end up just getting way too... Hold on. Poor Brian's arguing his question. There's a segment of male population, I believe, Drew and I were speaking about this on the way home last night, that I believe are gay, and they can't cope with it, so they get very much into their heterosexuality. And there's the part we know about the guy who puts the lift kit on his Jeep and cuts the sleeves off and butches it up, but then there's that tantric side. I believe they're homos too. Yeah. They end up getting
variations
so focused on having sex for 4 days straight without, and they get very much into their chi. And I really believe they're just gay, and they just can't handle it, and they're
focusing off the women.
Right. It's like, look, you got a nice piece of ass there, just bang it for 20 minutes and turn the goddamn TV on. I make love to my partner. Shut up. And look at the way they dress.
Is that threatening?
To me? I just want to call a spade a spade. I don't trust any of these guys. And the other thing, too, is most women, after, 20 minutes, they're tired of it.
Yeah.
But I know this sounds like compensation, but I go as long as I want, really. As long as I need. What, Brian? Yeah.
We get these calls a lot, and these guys, we push on their perineum, they discover this, and they do it because... No mess. That's why they do it. It doesn't feel any different. In fact, then they worry that they're hurting themselves. So now we're asking.
He's not hurting himself.
There's no way to sort of affect the sphincter there, or the valve, or cause any sort of epididymitis or your parasititis.
Well, sir, I don't think it's been well studied in men that press on their perineum versus ones that don't. But in theory, if you were thinking theoretically, it could lead to prostatitis or epididymitis if done on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But people
sounds
do...
Sounds like he is doing it on a regular basis.
Is he doing it on... Are you doing it every time you masturbate?
What about it, Brian?
I mean, the only time I come is during sex, and it's my fiancé that's worried about it, and I'm not too worried about it. Once in maybe every 2 months when I pee, there'll be a slight pain down there, nothing major.
All right.
So that's the only thing that could make me worried. But
well, Brian, save it for special occasions and camping with your dad.
And then then pull out all you've saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull out the whole look, I'm no doctor, but anytime your body begins a process and you interrupt it at the last second, it's going to hurt something, whether it's sneezing or, you know, pee. That's why I got to let the farts fly, too. You know, I just cannot.
You warning us?
No, I'm just saying, these people, you know, you sneeze, they grab their nose, like it'll blow your eardrums out, you know? If you're going, you're going. You can't
pinch
it off.
I mean, it's not physiologic to do that, but again, people do, you know, try and vary their sexual behaviors, and every now and then is.
Do you get any other benefit from it other than saving yourself the mess?
No, I got rid of him.
Well, you have got two guys saying no, but what about him? Ask him.
I trust come on.
Brian, anything special feeling standpoint?
No, I mean,
that's true. You're making a wonderful attorney. No, it's a hygiene thing. Yeah. I know you women get they're so caught up. Anytime a guy's fingers get anywhere near his ass, it's always like he's stimulated. Look at him; it feels good. And he's just scratching his ass.
Believe
he's bored.
Me, way too much is made of that stuff.
Really?
Listen, it doesn't get better.
You know that from personal experience.
It doesn't get better than an orgasm for guys. They don't need to improve on it. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah. They always want to improve.
No. They want to improve with the women.
Yes.
Not with the ass. ask any guy, look, would you rather have a better orgasm or an orgasm on top of someone new?
Yeah.
They go with the someone new. That's what we want.
Novel.
We don't want the finger in the ass. We want the new chick to put the finger in the ass. We want the fresh finger. You understand?
Anything can go in your ass. You just got to relax.
Drew, please. We're still on the air.
Okay.
All right. Berman and Berman in studio. We're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Laura and Jennifer Berman are both here from Berman & Berman, which is on Discovery Health, 10 o'clock every night. And Jewel's going to be in here tomorrow night. Okay, so we're taking calls on oral sex mainly, although this poor sucker's been on hold for 122 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. What'd I do?
Line four. What's up with line four?
Oh, there it goes. Go. All right. Erica?
Hi.
You're 27?
Yes.
I like you because you've been on hold for 122 minutes, and you're in a good mood.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually,
coming home from work.
Great. You smoke a lot of weed?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not one of those.
Okay. What's up?
Because I have a question.
All right.
And actually, it's for Dr. Drew, mostly. The thing is that I'm 27, and I don't know if he knows what this is, but it's called primalamenorrhea.
Primary amenorrhea.
Yeah, there you go, that mm-hmm. one.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Drew, because you corrected him.
And it's
a tough room in here. Go ahead.
And it's called primary amenorrhea with central hypogonadism, something like that?
Hypogonadism, okay.
Well, that one. Okay.
Central hypogonadism. Do you have a pituitary tumor or something when you were growing up?
Yes. Actually, you know what? They thought it was a tumor, but thank God that it wasn't.
Do you have panhypopituitarism? Do you have to take hormones for all your pituitary function?
You know what? They put me on the pill.
Yeah.
I was on the pill.
But do you take thyroid and do you take other medicines also?
No, the regular pill so I can have a period.
All right.
And my question is that when it's the time for me to be able to have a baby, will I be able to have a baby and conceive?
It's an interesting question. Could they give her GnRH and stimulate her ovaries?
Well, the question is, she's saying it's centrally?
Pituitary.
It's hard for me to tell what. Usually, if there is a pituitary tumor, then that's one thing. If there's another reason why she is hypogonadotropic, There could
let's
be.
Just say, let's say it is pituitary. Can
in the best case scenario,
give her GnRH?
Assuming that her ovaries are present and functional, she should be able to be stimulated. But it's, you know, I can't say over the phone there's not something else going on. Right. With regard to her ovarian function and ovaries in general.
Hold on a second. What's going on with that goddamn car door?
Oh, there. I fixed it.
Jesus Christ. Been a hole for 22 minutes.
122 minutes.
122 minutes.
Unacceptable.
Just shut the stupid door. She shouldn't be a mother. 27. She's not smart enough to be a mom.
It's weird that she's never had this work.
2 hours on hold and then leaves the door open the whole time.
And you should talk to your doctor about that. I mean, being 27, you should talk to your doctor now about fertility issues and what the future holds regarding your fertility. Have you explored that yet?
You know what? I asked and they said that they were going to put me on fertility pills.
Okay.
Which is promising in and of itself. So they
go ahead, Erica.
All right, excellent.
Hey, you're gonna have plenty of kids.
Oh no, but you know what? I'm afraid that like if I get pregnant, I'll lose it or something like that.
This is not that kind of problem.
So this is more about you getting pregnant, right?
Yeah,
so once you get pregnant, you probably be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I will be able to.
Sounding like it. We can't say for sure, but it's sounding like it.
Drew will send you a windbreaker out if you don't. All right.
Okay.
All right. You got a husband?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Go ahead there, baby doll.
Into this. Amazing. All right, Erica.
Good times. All right. Oh, man. I wish I was like Erica.
Just happy.
Yeah, just coasting through life.
Without a period.
No period.
Although she gets it now for the pill.
Yeah, I'll probably leave the period. But otherwise, I like to be like Erica. She's happy. She's happy like a Hawaiian.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on.
And she
on.
Wasn't bogus?
Do you think Hawaiians...
No.
Oh, phew. Not in a million years. Do you think Hawaiians know they're on an island?
No.
Or they just think they're on a peninsula and they get lost each time?
That's the world.
That's the entire planet.
Yeah, that's the planet.
Is this a Hawaiian caller?
No, but Hawaiians are happy in the same kind of way. Stupid way. They just, they don't know.
Mahalo.
They think the sun falls into the ocean. They can't figure out why the water doesn't get hot. It must be great. It must be great. All right, so crank them kids out, baby doll. TJ?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yep.
What's up?
I like going down on girls and all that. I think that's good and everything. But I don't really like when they go down on me.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
I think it's because some issues I had in the past.
What happened?
I was kind of sexually abused. It was with my two older brothers.
Your brothers did it?
No. They were victims, too.
Mm-hmm. By whom?
It was like a friend of the family.
So this person did oral sex on you?
No, he made my brother perform oral sex on him.
Okay. All right. Well, you had to watch this?
Were you watching?
Yeah, I was watching.
Right. How old were you?
I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I was
How long
six.
Did this go
I
on?
Six.
Just like 2 separate occasions.
Yeah. All right. Who was this guy?
Like a friend of the family.
Ah, sounds like a dynamite individual.
Yeah.
He's an older guy?
He was like, it was a long time ago. I was like only like 4 or 5, so like 20 years ago. He was like 16, my brother was 9, and my other brother was 7.
Mm. And, all right, so that's traumatic enough. Do you ever think about guys?
Sometimes, and that's what bothers me.
You're gay.
Mm, true, please. I could, might, have you ever had an experience with a guy?
No, not other than when the guy who perpetrated me and my brothers, he felt my testicles.
All right, here's the deal, TJ. You've been traumatized, and that makes you kind of confused about a lot of things, and we find that sexual identity is one of those things that really can get kind of scrambled. And if it's something that is not clear to you at this point in time, you might want to talk to someone about it and see if you can sort this out a little bit. You might be gay, you might not be, but you are confused at this point, and that's enough to sort of want to look into it a little bit.
Yeah, and people hate the idea of becoming gay, you know. They like to be born gay. If you're gay, if you become gay or you're born gay or whatever it is, you're just as gay as... You're 100% gay.
Most of our callers are trauma survivors, and most of the gay callers were abused by men. And our point is, whether it was you were born gay or gay because of trauma, changing it doesn't really work. You can't really change it back. And
no. Yeah. Although I think these guys are sort of frustrated because it's like, I wasn't supposed to be gay. And then this a-hole family friend came in caught me when my brain wasn't dry and infused all this crap, and now I'm gay and I don't really even want to be gay.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, you know, that's possibly what's going on with TJ.
That's his thing.
But he's got a girl. He's never had an experience with a guy, Drew. Mm-hmm. And he is 24 years old. So if he was, you know, gay
guy.
Sometimes
they don't. I mean, there's men that are in their 40s, 50s that never experience, you know, a homosexual relationship, and then all of a sudden.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're gay straight through, you make a move.
So he's probably not gay
point.
Straight through, but it's conflicted
he's
and might
conflicted.
Be bi.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
And that's part of the reason why it's uncomfortable to get oral sex, because it not only brings up memories of the abuse, but it brings up feelings about his sexual orientation.
There you go.
What if she held a black comb over her upper lip, did that Hitler mustache, you know, and did it? I find that helps for me.
And wear a curly, like, scalped head on?
Yeah. Yeah, if she can sort of butch it up a little bit. Maybe put an eye patch on or something like that. All right, Drew, who are we going to talk to now?
We're going to wrap it up, don't worry.
We're wrapping it up.
All right.
But, Transport.
Two. Just two, all right.
What about the guy who transports corpses to mortuaries? Brian?
Yeah.
You drive the meat wagon?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Wow. And have you ever had sex with any of the corpses?
Oh, you know what? The only people that ask that are people that have never been around death that much.
Oh, really?
You have no idea.
It's yes. That's a yes. That's affirmative. All right, so the question is, what diseases could you catch?
From dead people?
Like, I mean, I know there's like HIV and Hep C, you know, present in blood and stuff like that, yeah, but as far as like we had a case with tuberculosis and we were curious about that and what
I wouldn't think more than 48 hours out would there be any risk.
But that Jakob Creutzfeldt.
Yeah, the prions are the things you can get.
From the brains.
The Jakob Creutzfeldt.
But you would have to have direct contact with brain or central.
But you could post cadaver, you know, if it was a cadaver or somebody. In-
no, but they're mortuary.
He's just humping stiffs. I don't mean humping. I mean moving, schlepping.
But I would be concerned too. I mean, you're using gloves and precautions and masks. I mean, I would.
Did they warn you about that when in Gross Anatomy when you were in medical school?
The Jakob Creutzfeldt.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
All
right.
All right, here we go.
Funny comedian.
Because it could survive formalin.
Jakob Creutzfeldt?
Yeah.
Yes, it survives in the formalin.
Yeah. Funny guy. I think he's in Branson.
I used to take brains home when I was getting my master's in anatomy. There was like no restrictions, no regulations, no control back then. Now,
really? Now you got to check them out, right?
You got to check them out. There's a lot of protection, a lot of sensitivity to death and to the cadavers and to the bodies. And, you know, you can't do anything. You have to bury them.
As well it should be.
Well, good times. All right.
I'm stuck.
Well, we got it. We got
no
running
sex with
running with the brains. No, we got to run a little late for break, so we'll do that. Back with Berman and Berman after this. Well, that song means it's time to go. I want to thank Jennifer for coming in here. That's the smart sister. And then Laura. Oh, no, wait a minute. Laura's the smart sister. Well, you know, They jockey. You know, at the end of the day, I say they're both the stupid sisters. I mean the smart sisters. Yes, Berman and Berman, everybody, on Discovery Health Channel, which is 10 o'clock every night. And you can see us on one of those episodes, too, when they come in and do the episode in here on
the
oral
sex show.
Thanks a lot. You guys come back anytime. That was
thanks.
Fun.
Thanks for having us.
So, again, Jewel in here tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. An urn or something like that. Versus a little ball of semen and grandma's ashes.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.